I'm so excited about the topic we're going to talk about today. It's a topic we're continuing on from last week, talking about the kingdom of God, talking about the return of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, "If my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight," when he stood before Pilate. But he said, "But now my kingdom is not of this world." And as we know, he gave his life. He came the first time as a sacrifice. He came as a lamb prepared for slaughter, to bear our iniquities, to bear our sins. But we have the promise that when he left, that he would come again. And as he ascended into heaven and the disciples were looking up, the angels came and told that he would return just as he left, coming again to the Mount of Olives. It is one of the great hopes that we have as Christians, that we are looking for the day that Jesus Christ will come again. And when this world and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ, then we will fight. And we saw that last week. That Jesus comes, and when he comes with his saints with him. The Bible is very clear about this. Jesus comes again and his saints come with him to fight, to take control of the governments of this world. Now let's begin today by turning to Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, we'll look at another prophecy. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 to 7 say this: "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." And you remember when Jesus was being born, how the angels went out and they made a decree: "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." And so he says in verse 6, continuing, "And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, even that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now the completion of what we saw in Jesus Christ that happened about 2,000 years ago on this earth is completed when he comes back the second time, not as the lamb for slaughter, but as the King of Kings to take over the earth with the government on his shoulder. Notice in Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 44. This is the end of an explanation of a prophecy that Daniel was given to King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream about these kingdoms, and Daniel was explaining the kingdoms of this world and how the Babylonian kingdom, though it was great, it would come to an end. And the kingdoms would go down through the history of time, but there was a time coming when a new kingdom would be established. And notice in verse 44, we'll just want to pick up this one verse. "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." A kingdom not left to other people. Now we talked about last week that those who are Christians, those who are Christ, when Jesus Christ returns, that the dead in Christ shall be resurrected, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ rise first, and those who are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. First fruits redeemed from the earth and among men, as it says in Revelation chapter 14. But then we saw that as he comes, according to Zechariah 14, he comes with his saints to make war against the nations. He comes with his saints with him. And in Revelation 19, we looked at this as well. He comes to make war with the kingdoms and the inhabitants of this earth because he is coming to set up a new kingdom, a kingdom in which the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. But that peace begins because he has put down every enemy that stands in his way. He puts down the authorities that stand in his way. He puts down the kings and the kingships and the rulers of many countries. will be put down by His authority and by His power. And He does this with His saints. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 47. Psalms chapter 47. Psalm 47 and verse 1. Notice what it says. Oh, clap your hands. In Psalm 47, verse 1, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He comes to subdue the nations, and He comes to subdue them under our feet, under the feet of the saints. And the nations under His feet, He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom He loves. Selah. God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Do you have an understanding of what the vision of Christ coming is? Do you have a vision of His return? Do you have a vision of your role as a called out saint, as a called out believer in God now, of what your role, what your responsibilities, how you will be a part of this kingdom? Let's turn over to Revelation 2. We looked at this verse last week, but I think it's such a powerful promise. Revelation chapter 2. And in the letters to the seven churches, speaking here to Thyatira, but of course, these messages are all for us. These promises are for the saints and the believers. What does He say? One of the blessings, one of the rewards to the saints is, notice in verse 26 of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2 and verse 26. And He who overcomes and keeps My works until the end, to Him I will give power over the nations. Did you get that? I will give power over the nations. That's a really an incredible promise to offer, isn't it? Notice what He says. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from My Father. So He's saying, as God the Father is going to send Jesus Christ to have power to rule over the nations, Jesus is saying to all you saints, that I want to give you the same power. The same power I was given, I want to give to you. This is the calling of the saints. Do you realize how great your calling is? Do you understand and grasp the calling that the saints are coming to the earth with Jesus Christ to rule and reign? People talk about when you die, do you know you'll go to heaven? I tell you what, the better question is, are you prepared to rule with Christ? It doesn't matter if you're ready to go to heaven. Are you ready to rule with Jesus Christ? Have you prepared for this? For what the saints are prepared for? Have you been overcoming the flesh now in our lives today? Overcoming the lust of it and the passions of it? Putting down strongholds. Putting down the things that stand against us so that we are prepared to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ upon His return. Because the hope of the saints is the return of Christ. To rise up to meet Him in the air. And He gathers all His saints in heaven unto Him. And then, as the bowls of wrath are finished being poured out, He comes again in glory and power to make war with the nations, to put down all authority and power, and to establish a kingdom on this earth of which you, saints, are to have rulership. Jesus' promise is, and He who overcomes and keeps My works till the end, to Him I will give power over the nations, as I have also received from My Father. Do you believe that? Does that seem too great of a promise? Does it seem too awesome, too spectacular, too amazing? See, the goal is not just to be saved. The goal is not just to go to heaven. It misses the point. The goal is to have fellowship with Christ, that you may come and rule and reign with Christ. That is it. To rule and reign with Jesus Christ. This has been His intention. This is why Jesus poured out His blood. Do you think about that? His blood was poured out so you could be a king and priest forever. Let's look at that. Revelation, chapter 5, right here. We'll look at this one first. Since it's right across my page, I'll make it easier for me. Revelation 5, verse 9, it says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. You were slain," speaking to Jesus, "and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Guys, that's us. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We're here by the blood of Jesus Christ, notice, "and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." It's really awesome, isn't it? This is really an incredible thing that we're going through. We are in training. We are in the process of being trained to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. It's much, much more than just being alive. It's knowing Jesus. It's knowing His ways. It's knowing His laws and His testimonies, His commandments, statutes. It's being able to reign with Him. That's why a couple weeks ago we talked about to know Jesus is to keep His commandments. How do you know Him if you can't walk with Him? How can you rule with Him if you don't know what He would do? You are in training to understand the mind of Christ so that you can rule and reign with Christ. And He says, just as the authority has been given to me, and why was it given to Jesus? His Son, the one who sacrificed it all, the one who laid down His life for others. And why will it be given to us? Because we love God, we lay down our lives and sacrifice ourselves for others. The mystery of love being worked out in here, the mystery of care for God first and care and love for neighbor, is that there is a great mystery being worked out, that the character, the attributes, the love, the wisdom, the righteousness, the justice of God would be formed within us, that we can rule and reign with Christ in the way that He rules and in the way that He will reign on this earth. And it is a day of great redemption that is coming. And we have a chance to be a part of it. This is your calling. To be kings and priests of God. Notice in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. He says, "Grace and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before the throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He made you a king and a priest by washing you. He made you a king and a priest by cleansing you. It's a lot more responsibility than just being alive, isn't it? To be a king and a priest, do you see yourself ruling on this earth with Jesus Christ? Do you see yourself being given the authority that Jesus said that my Father also gave me? Do you see the empowerment to carry out the will of Jesus Christ? We pray the prayer, right? "Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are praying for this to be done. We are saying, "God, teach me. Let me know Your will. Show me the way. Teach me that I may prove and know that Your will would be done. That I, with You, as You have promised, can be with You, ruling and reigning on this earth to bring forth the kingdom of God." Not as the Gentiles, of course. Not as the people who reign to oppress. But as Christ reigns, always with a servant's heart. Always seeing how He can serve. "For He who is greatest among you, He who is most powerful among you, let Him be your servant." That's what Jesus teaches us. Jesus is the servant of no one, yet He serves everyone. And we should be the same. We are only Christ's servants, but we serve everyone. That's the heart and the mind of a king and priest of Jesus Christ. And it's an awesome, awesome calling that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We can't miss the point of how important this is. We can't miss the point of the calling. The reason that Jesus spilled His blood for us. The reason that He teaches us His ways. The reason that He comes not just to know Him, but to know a way of life that leads to life. A way of love by which all men can be governed. To know this way, to realize this great promise. Verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20 says this, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or the image and had not received His mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Did you get that? You see, saints, you have a calling that is very high. You have a calling to be part of a first resurrection. It says the rest of the dead, they're not going to live again until it's all over, until 1,000 years are finished. Let that sink in. The rest of the dead, people that are dying today that don't know Christ, people that are dying today that aren't the called saints, people that are dying today that aren't chosen to be kings and priests, they're not going to live again until 1,000 years is finished. If you don't believe me, read it again in your own Bible. This is the testimony. This is the truth of the Word of God. The rest of the dead do not live again until 1,000 years is finished. But when He comes and He resurrects the saints, when He takes of those who would not take of the mark of the beast, when He establishes a court, and I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them, verse 4. Do you hear that? Judgment was committed to these. Hold your place here and turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hold your place on Revelation 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 1. He says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? He's talking about somebody that you would go to court. It's like if Garrett was unhappy with me and he took me to court to sue me because he said I did something wrong. Paul's saying, Why would you take David to court? Or David, why would you take Garrett to court? Take it to the saints. Take it to those who are your brothers. Don't go to the unrighteous courts. Come to the church. Come to the people that are believers and righteous. But notice what he says in verse 2. He says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Wow. He says judgment was committed to them. It's the same what John was teaching, Paul was teaching. Don't you know you're going to judge the world? Do you get the point of your calling? The calling's huge. The calling is great. The calling is magnificent. You don't have to be intimidated by the calling. Realize that God will complete that perfect work in. That is why we're learning His will now. You know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, I know I bring this example up from time to time, but it's like that Karate Kid thing. You know, he's you know, wax on, wax off. You know, he's learning all these different moves, right? Paint the fence. You know, he's going up and down. And he thinks, what's going on? You know, I'm not learning to be a fighter. And he keeps complaining because he doesn't realize that with every movement, this guy is actually strengthening him and teaching him the moves that he needs to have strong enough to be able to defend himself and to do karate. And the same kind of thing is happening with us. You're saying, how am I ever going to be this judge and this ruler? Just keep doing the exercises that God tells you to. Keep doing the things that God tells you to. Because you're going to someday, He's going to say, okay, you know, Scott, paint the fence, and boom, you know, there it is. He's just going to do it. He's going to have it. You know? The rulership of God is being built in us. as we live and follow this Word. Again, we can't get away from this Word. This Word is so precious to us. It's got everything we need. God is teaching us. He's giving us His will so we learn and comprehend and understand the depth of His heart. Like we read in the Psalms, He said, sing praises. Sing with understanding. Get the point of why you're alive. Get the point. Eye has not seen or ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, but by His Spirit, they have been made known to us. It's much more than just going to heaven. It is so much more. In fact, when you think about the resurrection, and you think about it, you should think about, yes, we're going up to meet Him in the air, and we're coming right back down to earth as glorified saints to rule and reign on this planet. And these are not illusions of grandeur. These are the promises of God. It's not something to be proud about. It's something to be humbled about to realize the calling that God has given. Many are called, but few are chosen. And to realize the opportunity, the blessing that we have to take the gospel to the world, where the rulership positions of the presidents and the governors and the mayors and the people ruling throughout the earth, however the Lord would establish it, that it's given to His saints who will rule and reign with the righteousness of Christ. So He says again in 1 Corinthians 6, He says, verse 2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, just let that sink in a minute. If the world would be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? How about this one? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Wow. Wow. The things that God has called us to, the things that God is preparing us for, they're huge. I find this a very weighty thing. I stand in awe. God, this is really what you want? This is where you're taking the saints? To say, do you not know you shall judge angels? How much more things than that pertain to this life? So back in Revelation 20, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. He establishes a court. He establishes rulership. He establishes authority for His saints. And at the end of verse 4, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Are you prepared for that time? Are you prepared for that time? Because when we talk about preparing for the return of Jesus Christ, really what we're talking about, are you prepared as a saint to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years? Are these the things that are being developed in your life now that we can take to that time, to the time when our bodies are changed, to the times that we're no longer mortal but immortal, when we're no longer corruptible but incorruptible? Because you realize what's being built in us in this flesh, in this earthen vessel, are all the principles of eternal life, are all the principles of incorruption. And basically, God leaves us in this vessel and says, rule and reign in your own self. Put the evil down in your own self. Let the Spirit of God in His righteousness raise up over your own sinful flesh. We have every opportunity now to learn to put down the evil and to raise up the good, to teach ourselves by the Spirit of God, to seek the counsels of God, the wisdom of God, the mercies of God, and to realize that right now we are learning to be ambassadors of this kingdom and someday to be reigning with Him forever. It's such an incredible calling. It is such an absolutely awe-inspiring calling, because this kingdom will be great. Turn with me to Isaiah 11. Before we continue on, I want us to grab a vision of this great kingdom that's coming. You know, if you're somebody that likes to read world news, likes to look around at what's happening in the world, it's something that can be extremely depressing. Something that can really tear you down. But notice what is going to happen. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. It says, in Isaiah 11 verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, the sevenfold spirit. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by sight of his eyes, nor decide by hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. How nice that will be. Do you know what happens in courts today? I was talking to a friend recently, and he was very open with me, and he said that when lawyers help serve on the courts and in the benches, it curries favor with the other judges. Think of it like this. You want a day off, and you're a judge, you need somebody to fill in for you, but he's not hired as a judge. So he's going to fill in for free. That guy comes and serves your time, but he doesn't get compensated for it. It's just a donation to the community that he serves on the courts. Now that man comes before as a lawyer, and he stands before this judge. What do you think the judge's disposition is to this man who did him a huge favor, worked for him for a day, but didn't get any compensation or benefit for it? What do you think his attitude is toward that lawyer? Absolutely. Do you know? Remember when we were talking about what happened when Israel rejected God as their king, and when they took on a human king? How what happened was they rejected a God who was incorruptible, who didn't need anything. He was not bribable. Right? You couldn't sway God's opinion on what's right. What were you offering to God to make him unjust? What would you offer to make him accept a bribe? What did you have? See, God was righteous. When they took the human king and put a human that was a flesh, corruptible, mortal, desiring for money, power, delights, he can be swayed. But see, with Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ showed when he came to this earth was that he would judge righteously. You know, in the Old Testament scriptures, it talks about God's judgment. He said, here's what I want you to do. Don't honor the rich because they're rich when you judge. But you know what? Don't just take pity on the poor either. You see, we all have all this class warfare, right? The poor hate the rich hate the poor. And you know, God says when you judge, he said, don't honor whether the person's poor or rich. It shouldn't matter. And that's why I love that it says in Jesus, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Now, when he comes, he gathers his saints. You know what he does? He gives us a real blessing. He takes away this flesh. Do you know what taking away this flesh does? It frees us from, I got all the time. I don't need food. I don't need money. I don't need wealth. I've got everything. Because it says that when Jesus comes, that spiritual, immortal, incorruptible body is a body that he's going to give you. He takes away the sway of the world, the lust, the present. There is no more lust of the flesh. The flesh is dead. And really, realize what we're doing as we battle this flesh that we live in now is going through the process of saying no, no, no to the flesh. And yes, yes, yes to God. Because it's His ways. So then when He gives us the new body, He's just given us a body like His that's not subject to these things. So that we, when we judge not by the sight of the eyes nor by the hearing of the ears, as it says in verse 3. That we judge with righteousness. That we decide with equity. That righteousness are the belt of our loins and faithfulness the belt of our waist. That as Jesus and His saints rule this earth, everything's going to change. The spirit is going to change. The attitude is going to change. Because the other blessing He gives is before this 1,000 years starts, He binds Satan. Satan's not on the earth either. He's not going forth to deceive the nations. The enemies who were creating havoc and problems on the earth, He also comes and destroys them with war. So you have this new world. Notice in verse 6, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And what a cool thing for little John there to be out. And he's out. And he's going along, and he's in the wolf and the leopard and the lamb and the goat and the calf, and little John's leading them. And I know he will. You know, if this time was now, he'd be out there. But the thing is, it's a whole new spirit, a whole new environment. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. You know the violence that you see when you turn on Discovery Channel and you see the way the animals tear into other animals? The violence of it, the survival of the fittest, this whole selfish way that the animals live, man. It's just for me, I got to eat. They don't care about the life of who they're killing. They just care that I got to eat. And God's saying, no, we're gonna change all that. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. The weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Now notice this, verse 9. They shall neither hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Because everywhere that you look, the saints are ruling. Christ will rule and reign, and He will send His saints out to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. As the waters cover the sea, the courts will be ruled by the saints. The thrones will be sat on by the saints. The whole world will change as a result. Because the rulership is in the hands of those who have committed their lives to loving and serving God. Turn with me to Micah chapter 4. Micah 4. I like this version better. It's the same text as you'll read in Isaiah chapter 2, except for the ending. But I like the way Micah says this a little better. Let's turn over to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So again, teaching people, teaching them the law of God, teaching them His ways, teaching them His word, letting it go forth. People will come and say, let's go. Let's discover God. Let's know God. And they'll be teaching that Christ and the saints will keep handing out the teaching, the proclaiming the goodness of God and the goodness of His ways, the goodness of His laws of love, of charity, of generosity, of mercy, of blessings. Notice in verse 3, and He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a changed world that'll be. That the way of war, the way of competition, not just to do what's best, but to destroy your enemy, to be harmful, to be hurtful, to go after another. All the ways that this world lives, that the way men govern with corruptible, always wanting more money, more power, more land, more things and stuff. How to say, no more. That's not the way anymore. No more will there be war. No more will we turn on the TV and we'll see a million little kids orphaned in a country. I mean, won't that be great? Won't that be so awesome to realize that no one is hurting or destroying? If somebody tries to, and the Lord's going to rebuke those nations. Basically, He's saying it ain't happening here. That's the old world. There is a new world, a millennium coming, where they won't learn war anymore. And this is the calling. This is why Christ shed His blood for us, so that we could be a part of this. He could do it all Himself, but He wants you. He wants you to be a part of this kingdom. He wants you to be a part of bringing this peace, this education of God, this judgment of God, this new way of God throughout the whole earth. God wants to share this. Share this life, and this life will put an end to all the harm that's done. Notice here he says, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. And don't we live in a world of just weird, terrible fear? All the time, you got to worry, is somebody going to come in and try to kidnap my kids? Stay out of the street. You know, watch this. Come in, it's dark. All the time, constantly battling the fears of what if this happens? What if that happens? We got to do this. We got to defend against that. We got to have this security system. I got to have plenty of guns. I got to have this. All these things that this world creates in us, and you realize it won't be a need for it anymore. In fact, it says of the city Jerusalem, it will be an unwalled city. Anybody who wants to roll up on it and take it, they could. In fact, when the devil is released at the end of the 1,000 years, he will go out and gather those and deceive people to come against it. Do you know what? The saints will be there. The people will be there in the millennium. And when the enemies come, God licks them up with fire. That's it. Because He's the King. He's ruling on the earth. And that's not the way it works in His world. That's not the way it works in His kingdom. And guys, this is just awesome. To think about the liberty that comes to every person on the earth, that you know that somebody is not going to be out to hurt you, to destroy you, but that God is ruling. There is a new way of thinking, a new way of educating. Turn with me to Daniel here. And notice this. Prophecy. We're going to break into a prophecy because I just want to pick this up. Daniel 7. You might remember this was when Daniel had the visions of the four different beasts and the four different kings that would come. But let's just pick it up here. We'll just drop it all the way down to verse 13. This is Daniel. And he said, I was watching in the night visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Just as Isaiah said, the increase of his government and peace will never end. His dominion, his kingdoms, and all people, nations, and languages shall serve the Lord our God. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And Daniel was grieved in visions of his head. And so he says in verse 16, I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. He said, the four beasts, there are four kings which rise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The saints. Jesus is coming as king, and he's giving possession of the kingdom to the saints. You really are called to be the children of God. You really are called to be the children of God. It's not just a title God gives us to make us happy. He's going to give you what's His. That you will be possessors of this kingdom. That you will be the ones. Notice in verse 22, he says, I saw the Ancient of Days came, and he made a judgment in favor of the saints who were being persecuted, as it says in verse 21. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. For the saints to possess it. So he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. And notice this, and shall persecute the saints of the Most High. It's time of trouble. And shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. But then notice what happens. But then the court will be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. The kingdom is given to the saints. Those who God allows the world, the beast, to be persecuting, the kings, they speak the pompous words, they put the persecution on. He says, but these ones, just as we were reading about in Revelation 20 and in verse 4, the ones who had been beheaded for their witness, the ones who were rejected by this world, the ones who gave their whole lives for God, will be given a place of honor and of judgment, and they will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It's really an awesome prophecy that we see Daniel here and matching up so easily with Revelation and the prophecies that will come. A kingdom and dominion, and a kingdom that shall never end. Notice with me in Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and in verse 10. Psalm 145 and in verse 10. I want you to think as we read these verses about the calling that you have in Christ, that His blood was shed for you, that He called you to be a king and a priest, and that He called you for a purpose. He says in verse 10, all your works, and that's us, we're the works of God, His creation, shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Then they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Do you remember when Jesus came, it said that He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God? He came preaching this message. Now, it doesn't elaborate too much on what He said. Just said He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But if you look at the Scriptures, the prophecies in Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Micah, and you start to put them all together, do you realize that what Jesus was teaching was He was opening the eyes to those who were blind to see that a kingdom was coming, a kingdom in which the saints would come with Him, that His saints would possess a kingdom with Him, and it'd be right here on the earth? That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is now in heaven, but when Christ returns, we come with Him. His saints come with Him back to this earth to rule and reign with Him, to make this earth His kingdom, to make this earth a different place. And for 1,000 years, it will be. Now, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and we'll finish up here. Because we've talked about Christ coming as King. We've talked about how when He comes and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord, how His servants will fight. We've seen how He will set up and establish a kingdom which shall never end. We've seen how He gives thrones and judgment is committed to His saints. How they will reign with Him. How they will possess the kingdom with Him. How just as His Father gave Him the power and authority to rule over the nations, He said, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give you that authority. That power. We see how His kingdom is so different than man's kingdom, and how He judges with righteousness. That He doesn't honor either the poor or the rich, but He judges with equity, with fairness, with what's right. He has a kingdom with His saints where they say, no one's hurting or destroying in this holy mountain, but they will know the way of the Lord. His law will go forth from Zion. His word shall go forth. And we will teach it. We will proclaim the praises of our God and of our King wherever we go. This earth will be covered with the knowledge of God. This earth will be liberated. The animals won't even be attacking each other anymore. People will live at peace. People won't be afraid anymore. People will have security in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The kingdom that you have been called to. And I want you to grab the vision of this kingdom, because you realize that the whole creation is waiting for you. Notice this in Romans chapter 8, in verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're the child of God. That's just amazing. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Realize how awesome that is. That God has said, I'm saving you through Christ, but I'm making you a joint heir with Christ. And this is Christ's delight. The joy that was set before Him that caused Him to endure the cross was the joy that you and me would be possessors of the kingdom with Him. That we could share in this. That we could be a part of this together. That we would buy in voluntarily to His way of life. And that we would give our lives for this kingdom and our lives for this Lord who is so awesome and so righteous. Heirs of God and joiners with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Think about that. The whole creation's waiting. Waiting for this time. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Everything's waiting for God to reveal His children. And that's what you've been called to. You have been called to stand up with God. You have been called to be a possessor of the kingdom. You've been called to rule and reign with Christ. He is coming. And it is our job as saints to grab the vision, because it is the vision of who God is and who God made us to be that keeps us marching on, overcoming sin, overcoming the flesh, doing the work of God, proclaiming His praises, doing everything that is right and noble and good, having no care for money or the things of this world, not living by covetousness or things that will drive us down, but everything with which God blesses us, we use it to serve His purposes, His kingdom, His ways, to declare His honor, His glory, and His justice, to declare that Jesus is coming again to this earth. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate that as saints. We celebrate His coming again. And so let's praise Him. Let's stand and sing together. Let's stand and worship God. And let's sing of this day that's to come.